Hello, my name is Barry Maloney from County Cork on the south coast of Ireland. I have a good one about Irish, Scottish, English. Mm-hmm. It's a quote by George Orwell. Kind of sums it up. He said, the English are not happy unless they're miserable. The Irish are not at peace unless they're at war. And the Scots are not at home unless they're abroad.
Well, that's thought-provoking.
So
there's some truth to that. Barry, did you have another one?
A common question is, what's the English impression of the Irish?
Yeah.
And they always look at us with a kind of a bit of a puzzlement, you know? Winston Churchill summed that up. He said, we have always found the Irish a bit odd. They refuse to be English. So there you go.
20 years ago, my guidebook covering the British Isles was called Great Britain and Ireland. That's terrible. I didn't know Ireland well enough to do a book just on that. And people in Ireland and people in Britain, they deserve their own guidebook. One of my tour guides, Pat O'Connor, sat me down and explained why we must free Ireland from the British. Pat talked me into co-authoring a guidebook just on Ireland. And this year we're celebrating the 20th edition of that book. And Pat joins us right now to share some of his Irish favorites. Pat, thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Rick. Thanks.
Boy, Pat, you travel all over Europe, but you have a certain passion for Ireland. How many tours have you led for us on Ireland?
In the mid-70s, 75-ish,
75
like
tours,
that.
The yeah. best of Ireland. You've yeah. been doing that for over 20 years. I'm so thankful you cornered me in my office that day and woke me up to the need for an Ireland guidebook, and you've updated it with passion. What have you learned from your tourists, what they enjoy the most, what experiences provide the magic moments? You know, we always ask people, what are your magic moments? And what are your challenges as a guide? Mm-hmm. What have they been as you've worked with your American travelers, appreciating Irish nature and culture? What are the highlights?
Well, so people need to understand that Ireland really is a damp and moist and green place. It wouldn't be so green if it wasn't damp. You're as far north as the Alaskan Panhandle. So beach lovers, sun lovers, really, they're not drawn to Ireland initially. But the people, I know the people are just the amazing thing that really grows on you. There's no Eiffel Tower, there's no Alps or Colosseum, but the longer you're there, the more you connect with the people. And particularly musically and in pubs, that's where I find the magic happens.
So this is really insightful, Pat. It's like, to me, it's a lush island, and that comes mm-hmm. with rain, obviously. We live in the Northwest. I love the Evergreen State, and I feel like I live in a terrarium. You don't complain about the rain. The
yeah.
rain is a blessing.
Yeah.
And the same in Ireland, and you've got that conviviality. And when I think of the places where I know the most people, you know, per mile in all my years of researching, Italy and Ireland, there's something about that joy of life, that accessibility, that let's just get together and chat, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
you've been doing this for 20 years. How has Ireland changed, would you say, in 20 years?
Well, there's many more cars on the road now. Rick, Ireland became more affluent in the last generation or two, and when I first started traveling there way back in 1981, there'd be one family car. And now, just like in the States, mom and dad each have a car, and the eldest youngster may. So it's become traffic congested, especially in Dublin proper.
Mm-hmm. The economy has certainly gone up and down. I mean, I remember the mm-hmm. bleak days when everybody was on the dole, it seemed like, and they were frustrated. And yep. then you got the Celtic Tiger economy, and then that crashed. And then where are we since that? Because we had that huge spike up mm-hmm. with the Celtic Tiger, mm-hmm. and then it did come down. It was
it
kind
did.
Of a bubble.
It did.
And where are we now, would you say, with Ireland's economy?
Ireland really recovered from that faster than other nations that were having banking problems. For example, Greece was on the griddle as well at the same time. And the Irish really responded very responsibly financially, mm-hmm. and they're back on track, and they're savvy businessmen all the way across the board.
Because for a lot of international companies, they see Ireland as a great place to set up because of the...
The low tax rate, the corporate tax rate.
The corporate tax rate, yeah. and the availability of educated people who are not that expensive to hire.
That's right. English-speaking educated people that are not that expensive to hire. And Ireland is the English-speaking country that uses the euro. So in terms of business...
With Brexit, that's a huge deal.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So London exits the scene in the financial world as mm-hmm. far as EU is concerned, and suddenly they need a... there's a huge advantage when you're international banking with English,
yeah.
and Ireland is there.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, with the recent affluence of Ireland, we see better food. When you and I started traveling in Ireland, it made English food look good, you know?
That's true.
And now... I'm blown away at the creativity and the international flair, the fusion, and so on.
That's right. Irish chefs who may have left for a generation to find better opportunities have come home, especially during the Celtic Tiger. And in a town like Kinsale or Dublin, you can find some really gourmet restaurants that hold their own against most other big European.
You can still go to a run-of-the-mill tiny town in the countryside and have just one pub to eat in.
That's right.
But you go to a resort town, a wealthy little town on the south coast like Kinsale.
Kinsale, yeah. Kinsale is a beautiful little coastal town that attracts a lot of yachters. So there's a fair amount of money that comes in and out of Kinsale in a way. But it has grown with the rise of the expatriate chefs coming home.
And I remember there's a guy who was just a globetrotter and he loves food and he came back with his partner and they'd start a restaurant and all of a sudden it's a hit. It's a little mom and pop place.
That's right.
Kinsale is sort of the self-described gourmet capital of Ireland. I thought I was put off by that at first because the self-proclaimed gourmet capital. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of good restaurants.
Oh, there's some fantastic restaurants.
Yeah. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're talking with Pat O'Connor. And as you might imagine from his name, he's long had a love for the country of his ancestors. Pat's the senior Ireland tour guide and consultant at Rick Steves Europe. He's the co-author of my Ireland guidebooks, and he's also been leading tours of Ireland now for more than 20 years. And Pat joins us now with his well-earned tips for enjoying the Emerald Isle. Pat, you know, for ages, when people thought of Ireland, they thought of the Troubles. Is Ireland united? No. The northern part of Ireland is ruled from London, and the southern 75% is independent and ruled from Dublin. How bad was it, and how is it now, and how did they manage to get where they are now?
Well, boy, Rick, my first time to Ireland was in 1981 during the Mays Prison hunger strikes in the north, and it was a really sad and tragic time in Ireland. But things have really turned around since then. That's 40 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So the Troubles, it's been two steps forward, one step back. It's a healthy evolution. And I think the more generations that grow up in Ireland without bloodshed, the more it'll be in the rearview mirror for people to be.
My sense was there was a lot of moderates that they had their Catholic heritage and their Irish Republican heritage or their Unionist and their Protestant heritage, you know. But they were moderates and they're willing to live together, but they were extremists that could quite easily do something terroristic and blow the middle into the fringes, and then they'd have all this sort of violence.
Polarized, yeah.
And then they got pretty smart about it and realized this is quite costly for their society on both sides, and they actually had initiatives where they would let the kids get to know each other and grow away from the heritage of hate and fear that they got from their parents. And that younger generation really realized that we can share this island.
You know, Rick, they had camps for both Catholic and Protestant kids mixed together to try and alleviate this. And it's not an easy process, but it is getting better.
Would you say it's safe to travel in the north of Ireland now?
Absolutely.
No concern. Really.
Absolutely. And I think the northern Antrim coast is as pretty as any part of Ireland, so don't avoid it up there.
I have, as a matter of principle, when I think of a trip to Ireland, it has to include the north. There's no reason not to go up into the north. And in the future, do you feel like it's solid or do you feel like it's fragile?
The peace?
Yeah.
I do think it's solid, but I think that the Brexit tension is an irritant right now, and it's not going to really affect travelers as much as it's going to affect business. It's a tariff thing at the border. I don't see them checking passports, but
because from up until now with the EU, with Britain in the EU before Brexit, they had that beautiful free trade.
That's right.
And now something that is fundamental to Brexit, the exit of Britain, is you don't have free trade, and that cuts Ireland in half from a trade point of view, which
it
is
does.
A complication.
It does.
It'll be interesting to follow that. Pat, when I think of Ireland, I think of the gift of gab. You know, I met a guy, I think you know him, Eamon O'Rourke, and he picked me up when I was hitchhiking when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I was just reading my journal. I hadn't read this journal for literally 40 years, and I thought, I'm going to try to get a hold of Eamon. And I remember he was just In his little town, Castlewellan, in Northern Ireland, he was Eamon the plumber. I mean, because there's two Eamons. There was Eamon the carpenter and Eamon the plumber. And I remember even way back then, I came into the town and I would go, do you know where I'd find Eamon? And they'd say, Eamon the plumber or Eamon the carpenter? And it's so fun to think that they're so intimate that way. But I found Eamon on the phone and we just rekindled our conversation just last year.
Oh, yeah.
From what we had 40 years ago. And I remember hanging out with him and we'd be in a conversation, and And the sun would set, it would get dark, and we'd forget to turn on the lights. We'd be talking in the dark. It was just so enthralling, the conversation. What's your best trick for meeting locals and having those kind of person-to-person memories?
You know, asking people for directions is truly a way to connect. And also asking them to take your picture when you're somewhere where you can't take a picture of yourself and you start a conversation that way.
Just a little excuse.
Yeah.
You know, ask somebody for, if you're walking through a town, stop and ask them a question and then be open to chat.
That's right. That's right.
You see somebody and you, hey, could you do me a favor? Take my picture here. And then you say, I love your town. What's the story?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, Rick, on my first trip in 81, I was out on Inishmore, one of the Aran Islands off the West Coast, and there was a real cute little redheaded girl playing with her friends in the driveway. And I asked her, could I take your picture, please? And she was holding her kitten. And it was just a lovely little photo. And I treasured it. And then a dozen years later, I came back and I happened to have that photo with me. And it was just a really fun moment where I was in the one and only little restaurant at the crossroads in Kilronan. And I was paying the bill and I held up the photo and I said, I've been looking for this little girl. She used to live down the road 14 years ago when I was here. Do you know where she is? And they said, oh, that's Susie Gill. And I said, where is she? And they said, well, she's in the back. We'll bring her out. And sure enough, there she came. True story.
You know, that is so interesting because I used to, years ago, I'd say, bring a Ziploc baggie with postcards from your home or pictures of your family or whatever. And now we've always got that on our phones. We got our photography there. And you could go back and you could do that. What a great way to connect. You mentioned Aran Islands, and my memory of the Aran Islands is the little folk dance club there was the students that did their small-town version of river dance.
Ragoose, yeah.
Ragoose,
yeah.
And I understand they're not in business anymore.
Unfortunately, no, they've moved on.
And I was going to ask you, in 20 years of music and dance and that kind of entertainment in Ireland, how has that changed? The trad, you know, they call their traditional folk music trad, and it's not just like square dancing here in the United States. It is honestly, you know, the pop culture, the trendy, this is where it's at.
Absolutely. People of all generations in Ireland are listening to trad music. And you go to a place like Dingle that has fantastic live music and pubs. Those musicians are there by choice. This isn't a little backstreet, you know, hiding place. They go to Dingle, gravitate there because they know the best musicians are going
to
be there.
So as long as I've been going to Ireland, about 30 years, there's the buzz is, where's the music scene, you know? And for a long time, there's a little nothing town called Doolin, mm-hmm. which is always, for some quirky reason, where there's great music. Ennis, I find, has great music. Mm-hmm. Galloway,
yep.
Dingle Peninsula, of course, Dublin, because that's where the big gigs are.
Yep.
Are those still the big places for music today?
They are, but in a place like Dublin, you're going to see quite a bit of it on stage and maybe not quite as authentic. You have to sort of really ask locals for the traditional Irish pubs that are true.
There's a pub in Galway called the Crossroads, and they've got a big mural on the wall. I don't know if you remember this pub, and there's a fire. It's just in the middle of the rural farmland, two roads cross.
Yeah.
And that's all you need for a gathering. And the people from all four angles of that road would come together.
Yeah.
They build a fire. And they make music.
Yeah.
And that's what that pub is today in the middle of Galway. It's a crossroads.
That's exactly right.
And it's not famous. They're not big shots there, but they are people who know their music and love their music. And that session just takes on a life of its own. And if you've had a Guinness and you're into it and everything's going just right, there's not a better experience in Ireland.
Oh, it's treasure. Yeah.
What's your tip for getting the most out of the music scene in Ireland?
Well, if you really want to check out the music scene, you want to be in the pubs early enough to get a decent seat near where the musicians are going to set up.
Uh-huh.
So you can see, for example, an Illan Piper, the Irish version of the bagpipes. These guys are fascinating. The way they make music out of wrestling with an octopus is what it looks like. They make great music.
The Illan pipes, that's like the Irish bagpipe.
The Irish bagpipes.
It is wrestling with an octopus.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Very musical octopus.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's got more octaves than the Scottish bagpipes, and you can kind of bend the notes. So it's a beautiful instrument.
And that one they don't, on a Scottish one, they're blowing it to fill it up. But with the Irish one, you fill it with the...
The bellows underneath one elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat O'Connor has been researching and writing the Rick Steves Ireland Guidebook for 20 years. We're celebrating his achievements and the many charms of Ireland he's uncovered for us right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We have a link to a video presentation about touring Ireland that Pat hosted a few years ago. You'll find it with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Pat, I think more than in most countries, there's a tourist trap route in Ireland, and then there's the rest of the country. What is the tourist trap route around the country? What is every big bus, the five top stops?
They all stop at Blarney Castle outside of Cork. They all stop at Killarney, the tourist town with the beautiful lakes.
Yeah.
In Dublin, they hit the Guinness Brewery pretty hard, and they hit the Book of Kells, the cultural treasure of Ireland in the Trinity College Library. And then up in the north, in Belfast, the Titanic Belfast is also pretty heavily
visited. He also
visited.
Got the Bunratty Castle. Did he mention that?
Yeah, well, Bunratty Castle, there's actually three castles that do castle banquets in the west, mm-hmm. and Bunratty is very close to Shannon Airport in Ennis.
So it's probably getting the most big tour buses.
It does.
And then the Ring of Kerry is everybody's bucket
list. The Ring
list.
Of Kerry, yeah.
So those, they're not bad, but you can do alternatives to those that are much more real and much less painted green with little limericks and leprechauns everywhere.
You bet.
I think the Titanic and the Book of Kells, those are real cultural experiences
they are.
You'd put up with anyways. The other ones, I think you could find alternatives. Also, there's the river dance thing. They've sure milked that, haven't they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that still a thing in the rearview mirror, but it comes back now.
As well.
Yeah. And then you got famous names in Ireland. It's so interesting. I mean, people just want to go to Tipperary because they've heard of it.
Right.
What are the big famous names that you can say, well, it's a nice name, but you don't need to go there?
Well, Limerick and Cork, God bless them, are household names. But I'd rather be sleeping in Kinsale than Cork. And Kinsale is just a half an hour down the road and closer to the airport.
So keep your bar high. Don't just
go
to the famous places.
That's
it. It could be good, but there are alternatives.
There definitely are.
They don't have the promotion. And if a place has promotion, that means it's got golf courses and big hotels that accommodate tour groups and reasons for mass tourism to embrace it, throw money at it, and shape our perspective of how we should prioritize when we put our Irish dreams into an itinerary.
We prefer the Sleighhead loop around the tip of the Dingle Peninsula over the Ring of Kerry.
Perfect.
It isn't as touristed and it is more intimate.
Pat O'Connor, it's so fun to talk to you and to celebrate Ireland. I know Ireland is special to you. To me, it is. I love all of Europe, but it is so uniquely lovable. It was never conquered by the Romans. It's the only former colony in Europe, I believe.
That's right.
And it's a place with a small population and a huge diaspora. I mean, what do they say? There's 30 million Irish Americans?
Over 40 million.
Over 40 million.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing island in so many quirky ways. What is your explanation for why Ireland is just so darn beloved?
Well, I know it sounds cliche, but it truly is the people. I mean, when you meet an Irish person overseas somewhere, maybe not in Ireland, they really stand out and you find yourself attracted to conversations with them. Now go to their homeland and let their pride show. And all the way across the board, the people are the real treasure.
And that's our challenge, to connect with the people. And it's easier to connect with the people in Ireland than anywhere I've ever been.
That's so true.
Patrick O'Connor, thanks so much for being with us. And happy travels on more great adventures.
Thank you,
Ireland.
Rick. It's my pleasure.
It's actually the second city of Austria, not far from the borders of Slovenia and Hungary. A tour guide from Graz tells us about the corners of Austria, where you'll find vineyards, castles, and champion horses grazing on green hillsides. Andrea Wolf takes your calls next at 877-333-7425 as we explore the fine points of Austria beyond Vienna and Salzburg on Travel with Rick Steves.